The following podcast is proudly sponsored by Crosswinds Golf and Country Club in Burlington. The fall colors are spectacular. The scenery is gorgeous. 18 holes of championship golf, suitable for all levels of play. And you can still get golf in. I mean, the weather looks good for the next, you know, month or so. Breathtaking views of Rattlesnake Point and Mount Nemo along the Niagara Escarpment. At Crosswinds, they make you feel like a member of a private golf course when you experience what they have to offer. It's just beautiful. Don't delay. There are only, what did I say? A month, 30 days? It might be more than that, but you know, book your tee time now online at crosswindsgolf.com. Save $10 per golfer when you do it online, because frankly, I don't want to be answering the phone. All right, just do it online. Do me a favor. crosswindsgolf.com. When you get there, tell them Hebsy sent you. Now, Mike, let's start the podcast. Welcome to Hebsy on Sports. It's the podcast. Mark Hepscher, Toronto Mike. Oh, it's another Friday. It's a beauty. It's the 28th of October. The Leafs lose again. I wish they would have told me in advance. I wouldn't have stayed up late. But well, you know what? It didn't look that bad. They lost in overtime. We'll get into that. But good news, AM34 did score. So the defending Rocket Richard Trophy winner. Every time he touches the puck now. And there's the Rocket Richard Trophy winner. The defending Rocket Richard Trophy winner. 60 goals last. 60. He's only got one. What's the matter with us? He's fine. Relax. But I didn't even see any panic on social media. I think the TV networks made that up. Oh, people are panicking. The 7 people on Twitter are worried that Austin Matthews didn't score in 20. Ridiculous. Hey, the Vancouver Canucks finally won a game. It's kind of too bad because I had a great story to tell about the 1990-91 Toronto Maple Leafs and how they started their season. And it was like the Canucks. It was like, how long before the coach goes? And it was like a death march. It was awful. So the Canucks finally won a game, but that doesn't mean that the pressure isn't still on big time in Vancouver. But what do I care about Vancouver? I got my own problems in Toronto. One of them is that the Jays aren't in the World Series. Who is in the World Series, by the way? Is that over? Did I miss it? Oh, no, it starts tonight. You remember baseball, don't you? Fucking Major League Baseball. What a bunch of idiots, eh? Oh, let's take the week off. And then no! It should be game 3 tonight, not game... And what is it like with all the aging athletes? Suddenly, all these aging athletes, many of whom can insist on competing, even though time is not on their side, even though the public remembers them as wonderful, tremendous, elite athletes, and now they just look old. And I'm talking to you, Tom Brady. He went from looking like a 30-year-old to an 80-year-old. He's gaunt, and he's just, come on, man. 45 is pretty. It's been a good run. Please. Mm-hmm. And Aaron Rodgers not looking so young anymore. And LeBron James, not as spry as he used to be. Mm. And Serena Williams, who retired, is not retired. No, I want to keep playing till I'm 100. I want to keep playing till Gordie Howe age. Oh, the smartest of them all, Federer. It's like, no, if I can't compete in the Grand Slams, that's it. I'm good. I had it. Walk away, you know? It's a good thing. We'll get into the Raptors story. Boy, they're a good-looking team. They get Philly again, a really weird schedule. They beat the snot out of them the other night, and they're playing them again tonight at the Scotiabank Arena. No tickets available. Tough ticket, the Raptors. Tough. Hey, Toronto Mike, did you survive last night's podcast?
Yeah, Hebsy, I was going to say long time no see. I thought you were going to crash on my couch and we just do it here. But yeah, it was good to see you.
No, your couch isn't there anymore. Your couch is now in my son's, in his apartment. That's that couch has lived well.
It's had a good life. Yeah, different couch, but good to see you again. And thanks for dropping by last night. That was great.
No problem at all. Lots to get to today. And you know what? I got a busy day today. I got to drive to Elliott Lake, Ontario today.
And you were telling me that's quite the drive.
It's quite the drive. So for all my friends in the Ontario Provincial Police, please, I have to get to Elliott Lake by 5 p.m. Don't ask why. Don't ask for details. Got to get. So let's go.
All right. Let's get going.
Get right to it. Okay. I was up late last night. Late because my favorite hockey team happened to be playing on the West Coast. Again, after a while, you get used to this. You get used to when you're in the East, you know, having to stay up late to watch your Raptors, to watch your Jays, to watch your Leafs, to watch your squads. But not that often, but when it happens, you have to be prepared for it. What I like to do is I like to go to bed 3 hours earlier the week before it happens, just to get acclimatized.
Wow.
Staying up late. Oh, you think I'm kidding?
That's commitment, Hebsy.
That's commitment, because I know I'm looking at the schedule going, man, I'm going to be up Wednesday night. I'm going to be up Thursday night. I'm going to be up, you know, late, like later than usual. So you have to adjust yourself. So I did, stayed up late, watched the Leafs lose. What game was it? Was it the eighth game? They play 82 games.
Right.
This is game number 8. All right. So I know after a number of years, hey, it doesn't mean anything. It's not a big win. It's not a tough loss. It's a game. It's just check another one off the schedule. I'm trying to get up for this one, but when I see the San Jose Sharks wearing all teal, I'm like, oh man, no. Cause it looks, when you look quickly, it looks like the Leafs road uniforms, the blue ones, right? It's just sort of that quick look. So every time I saw San Jose get the puck, and I just sort of went, oh, no, it's not. That's San Jose, they're all teal. Anyway, first minute of the game, like I'm sitting down, getting ready for the game. Logan Couture, there's this loose puck that's sort of lying there down the ice, and Logan Couture jumps in and scores in the first minute, and Austin Matthews is like 2 steps behind him. I'm like, oh, geez, this Austin Matthews, his wrist, and people are going, what's the matter? You're not scoring. It's like it's 7 games into the season, this poor guy. He's already getting it from people. What happened? What's the matter? Where did you score? And here he doesn't back check, and it's 1-0 for San Jose, and Eric Schallgren is the goalie. It was the two backup goalies last night. And I'm thinking, oh, it's going to be one of those nights. Like, when you give up a goal in the first minute of the game, it's just going to be a long night. And it was. At least they came back and tied it. And then they took 2 stupid penalties on the same play early in the second period. Like you got to be, you know, like both, okay, you and you, like Engvall, who's horseshit. I never liked this guy. I don't know how he makes the team every year. I don't know. I can count on one hand the number of good plays he's made as a Toronto Maple Leaf. I can see them. That's it. Other than that, he's 6'6" and 240 pounds of nothing. He gets nailed for hooking. TJ Brody gets flagged for tripping at the same time. Okay, 5-on-3. Boom. Logan Couture gets his second goal of the game, number 300 in his career, the captain of the Sharks from London, Ontario. Great guy. I'd love to see him on, I mean, he'd be a great guy for the Maple Leafs, and of course, for all these other teams too. But anyway, I digress. So now you get one man out of the box. Now they're up 2-1. And then Timo Meier scores his first of the year. Now it's 3-1. That was with the man advantage. But the handful of San Jose fans who attended the game, and this was shocking to me because I was there when the Shark Tank opened in 94. It was wild.
Right.
You could not get a ticket for that game. The energy in that arena was tremendous. I looked last night, there's nobody there. I didn't even check the official attendance. It was probably boosted by the number of tickets sold and people just didn't show up. I don't know. But ugh. Like when the Leafs scored, it was loud, right? You know, the 300 or 500 or whatever Leaf fans that were there. But man, it was just like, oh, awful. So
well, Hepsi, in this market, we're used to, you know, supporting bad teams. San Jose, yeah, not so much. They want a good team.
They exactly right. So anyway, a bunch of these people, and I admit, I thought too, that it was a hat trick for Couture because it looked like it was his goal. So all these hats are raining on the ice. And they're going, no, it was credited to Meier, went in off Timo Meier. Right. So what are they again? I tell you this again, you throw your caps in the ice. What can you do? Can you go down to, you know, to customer service and go, excuse me, my St. Louis Blues hat was in the north end. Could you play? No, not going to happen. You lost your hat for nothing, for nothing. It wasn't a hat trick for Couture, but it's still 3-1 in favor of San Jose. And things are looking gloomy for the Leafs. But then Mitch Marner cuts the lead 3-2 late in the final minute. See, this is the thing with the Leafs. They give up a goal in the first minute of the game. And then they score in the last minute. And you know how crucial that final minute is, you know, just for optics. You gave up a goal in the final minute, right? So big. That's a big goal. That's a motivator. So you go into the third period, you're down 3-2. And then on the power play, dans l'attaque massive en français, AM34, one-timer, boom. Scores for the first time since the year of the small potato. I don't know, like whatever it was, whatever the stat geeks had. You know, he finally scored on his 23rd shot without scoring it. Power play goal. We're tied 3-3. We go to overtime. So we got the point. So that's good. You come down from 2 goals. You got the point. And then in overtime, Nylander coughs it up, but it's 3-on-3, right? He coughs it up, and it's immediately a breakaway for Erik Karlsson, the veteran who makes just a super move on Sjogren, just turns him inside out and scores on a beautiful breakaway in overtime. And the Sharks win 4-3.
Question, Hebsy, about your fandom here. So this, you said game 8 of 82, you know, on the West Coast.
Yep.
You're not joking here when you say you alter your sleep schedule. I can't tell if that was a bit or not, but are you, do you modify your sleep schedule to watch these games?
Absolutely do. Absolutely.
That's incredible. No, it's not.
See, you've got young kids. You got to be up. I'm retired.
Well, you
got
to be up for Hebsy on sports.
Oh, wow. That's a big commitment. Wow.
You in your pajamas over there?
What's going to happen? Am I going to get fired? Come on.
We'll have to talk afterwards, review your performance today. But,
we're not quite there yet. It gets better. So on to L.A. for the Leafs now. Saturday night tilt against the Kings. That's an early game, though, because I think it could be. No, wait a second. Second game of a doubleheader. What am I saying? It's the back to the game two. It's going to be a late night. I'll be up in Elliott Lake. The whole town will be watching the game probably.
Nice.
Elsewhere in hockey, the Vancouver Canucks finally won their first game of the year. Yay! Thank you. Anybody from Vancouver that listens? I know Gene Vilaitis does, but...
Dale Cadeau.
And Dale. But these are transplanted Torontonians. They're not Vancouverites. They're people that are listening because they're from Toronto or they love the Toronto teams.
Right.
That's it. They want a Toronto perspective. They don't, you know, I don't care. It doesn't
matter. Yeah, they still root for Toronto teams.
Matters not where you're living. It's good. So anyway, the Canucks won. They beat Seattle 5-4. Mike, you, me, and three of your neighbors could beat Seattle. Could at least tie Seattle.
Woo.
Yeah. So temporarily now, so think about this. Now you're in Vancouver. You go, phew, they won. All right, they won. Now let's get winning. Like last year when Boudreaux took over and we couldn't lose. Let's get into that. But most people are like, so what? You won one game.
Right.
And it reminds me, Mike, of the 1990-91 Toronto Maple Leafs. The year before, under coach Doug Carpenter, they reached the 500 mark and made the playoffs. They had not been a 500 team during the regular season for the entire decade. Look it up. Not for the entire decade did they have a 500 record of the 80s.
I believe it.
Now, they did well in the playoffs because in those days you could get 52 points and make the playoffs for cuck the system they had there. And so the 1990-91 Maple Leafs, you know, Eddie Olczyk, Mark Osborne, and the year before they had lost to St. Louis in the first round of the playoffs, but they made the playoffs and they were a 500 team and they were looking good. They had a good young team. And, they couldn't do anything. They were awful. Awful. And like they lose. So it was, it was four in a row. Oh, okay. So, you know, they did all right. And then five in a row. And then they weren't even close, actually. Like they got one, they got a tie, I think, in the fifth game. And people were going, oh, they got a tie. Wow, they got a point. But it was just tick, tick, because you knew that Ballard was going to go get rid of this guy. Fucking fire him. I don't care what happened last year. So you felt bad because, you know, this team, they were fun to watch the year before. They were a good squad. Leafs fans were finally like, hey, we might have something here. And they were like 1-9-1. And then Floyd Smith came. I'll never forget this at the Gardens. He comes out the little dressing room, a little corridor there outside the dressing room. It seems so tiny now. Compared to, you know, the huge areas they have in the new arenas. But back then it was like a little corridor, a little down there. Okay. And here comes Floyd Smith, the GM, coming out of the office and the reporters are surrounding him. There's Global, there's CBC, there's CHCH. There's what year was this? 90? There's TSN, right? Not Sportsnet yet. Nope. There's City TV is there. Everybody's there. Okay.
Right.
And okay, what's going on? And he comes out, and I'll never forget. He goes, "We let Dougie go today. Something like that. We let Dougie go. But that was it. It was just 1-9-1. And the day before this happened, Carpenter, who I knew pretty well, I liked him a lot. He would always see me. His office. There was a door to his office that was along the west east corridor. Right there was a little door there, like a steel door, and that was his office. And he'd open it up and, hey, come on in here. And I'd sit down with him and he'd say, when do you think they're going to fire me? Right? Like he knew. It's like nothing you could do. He knew that it was only a matter of time, that even if they won like two games in a row, that, you know, the pressure was on and they were 500 last year. They were expected to be above 500. So You know, I thought about that with the Canucks. I'm like, and Boudreaux knows. He knows. Like, it just can't. There's no way he can stay the whole season if they're just going to flounder. That the fans won't stand, even though he's a good coach. The fans won't stand for it. Even though they fired, who was it last year? Travis Green?
Yeah.
You know, and then Boudreaux came in and turned the thing. That's just the way it is. In the NHL, they fire coaches at will. They even have, even the anchors now are in the show. Well, who do you think the first coach is going to be fired is going to be? Everybody, you know, you're 7 or 8 games into the season.
Right.
Crazy. Anyway, so good for Vancouver and Bruce Boudreaux with his 600th and possibly last NHL victory. I don't know. They're a terrible team, but they won a game. So good for them. All right. I'm really pissed at Major League Baseball this week. Like, really upset. I'm a baseball fan. I would if you had me. You guys had me. I would have been right there in front of the television watching all the festivities, the pregame, the post, the game, everything. Because it's the World Series every fall, the Fall Classic, Philadelphia, Phillies, 11th best team in baseball against the Houston assholes. But nope, Major League Baseball went, oh, no, we'll wait till Friday to start. What? Come on, you've got this golden opportunity. This is baseball. Hey, guys, don't know if you're aware of this, but you guys could play. Like, you guys could play Tuesday, no Monday night football. You're off Monday, right? They knew this on Sunday. In fact, their contingency plan likely earlier in the week had to be, well, what if there's a sweep? And the Phillies, what do we do? And the Phillies went in 5. What do we do? I'm sure they must have had that conversation, right?
Of course.
And you're telling me they went, let's wait till Friday.
Apparently.
Somebody had to have said, wait a minute. If we start Tuesday in Houston, we don't have to worry about Monday night football. There's no Monday night. There's no football Tuesdays. We play Tuesday and Wednesday, so we don't have to worry about NFL. We got all the eyeballs, right? Thursday is an off day for travel because we're going back to Philly. That's NFL game anyway. Brady's playing. Beautiful. And then game 3 would be tonight, Friday. Game 4 would be tomorrow, Saturday. Game 5 would be Monday back in Philadelphia. Game 6 would be Tuesday. Game 7 would be Thursday. We're done. No, haven't even started yet. I've lost interest in baseball. Have you?
Yeah, the momentum was killed. Because I was in, when Bryce Harper hit the homer, I was watching live. That was a great moment. That was a great game. I was all ready to go. And now it, kills the momentum.
Tick,
now
tick,
I got to ramp up again.
Tick, tick, tick. How many big sporting events are you going to watch between then and tonight if you watch the game? Lots, tons. Other things to talk about. Idiots. Sure. Idiots. Idiots.
So what is the reasoning there? Is it just
television? Yeah, I guess, they wanted, right? Fox didn't want to go Tuesday, Wednesday. Fuck that. We want Friday, Saturday. We want all the eyeballs. Okay. All right, you got it, Fox. Okay. So I might watch and I might not watch. I might just watch the highlights later on YouTube. I have no idea. I don't know. But the Phillies, man, 11th best team in baseball. They got Bryce Harper, like you said, who's just what a player. We always knew he was a great player.
Of course.
We got a Canadian manager, Rob Thompson. The Phillies have the best mascot in all of sports. It's true. The Philly Fanatic overtook the San Diego Chicken, who's now retired, as the greatest mascot in all of sport. Okay. Argue with me. Go ahead. You're wrong.
What about that Expos guy? What about
UB is retired.
But isn't he doing Habs games?
You're asking me? Mascots at hockey games? Come on, not the same.
Okay.
Not the same. Gritty does not compare to the Philly Fanatic. Gotcha. And remember this, and Gritty, and don't kid yourself. The Flyers went, listen, this is a town that has the fucking Philly fucking Fanatic. Okay. We're going to come up with a mascot. It better be a fantastic mascot. Not the eagle who's, you know, that flaps its wings at the Eagles game. Stupid eagle.
Well, you're right, because there's no dugout. The dugout is a great grand, like a stage almost for a mascot.
Yeah.
You don't have that in hockey.
Yeah, and you can thank the San Diego Chicken for that, and the Philly Fanatic has been tremendous. Anyway, and the Houston assholes, they got nothing. They play at fucking Minute Maid Park, fucking sterile environment. Everybody knows they're cheaters.
Yeah,
they're just a bunch of cheaters. And they, you know, they got all these, like a Justin Verlander. Okay, they got great pitching, but they're Houston. Like, nobody likes them. They don't. Nobody likes them. Tonight, you got Verlander against Aaron Nola in the matchup. And if I'm around, I'll watch the game. By the way, Mike.
Yeah.
Can you name, give me a round figure. How many African-Americans will be playing in the World Series this year?
Okay. Well, I'm no dummy. Like, if you're asking the question, it might be zero.
It is zero for the first time since 1950.
That's shocking, Hebsy.
Yeah, it is. Michael Brantley would normally be the only one. He's on the injured list that won't play. The manager, of course, of the Astros, Dusty Baker, is an African-American. Two of his coaches are African-Americans. Nobody on the Phillies is an African-American. Surprise you, bother you? Is this the point of discussion?
Well, I'd be curious. Why? Like, why?
Latinos. The white population in baseball is about the same as it was a decade or so ago.
But I wonder, maybe there's something we could point to where African-Americans choose to maybe pursue maybe football or basketball. Maybe
true that. But at the same time, the situation with Latins is different for a number of reasons. One is, and I hate to say it this way, but it's true, they're cheaper, way cheaper than North Americans. The reason for that is the international draft, where you can scoop these kids at the age of 16, as many as you want, sign them up at 16.
Right.
And if one of them or two of them makes it to the major leagues, terrific, but it didn't really cost you much at all. Whereas, you know, signing and developing players in North America costs you more money. And a lot of these Latin players basically have taken the places of African-American players over the years. So there you go. None since 1950. And in 1950, how many African-American players were there in the entire league? Like literally a handful. 1950?
Right.
A handful. I could probably name all of them for you. So anyway, that's something to consider. A bunch of Blue Jays are up for the Silver Slugger Awards this year, as the finalists were announced yesterday. It's like 10 finalists for outfielders. There's a whole bunch of finalists. I don't know if I like this. I mean, you know, okay, the nominees for the Academy Awards or the Emmys come out and you're going, okay, there's three or five maybe nominees for a film or for a record or whatever. But now it just seems, you know, I don't know, let's trot out the nominees for every award. And there's a bunch of them. Like if you played for the Jays, if you were a Jays starter and you didn't get nominated for one of these, like every one of, think of the starters. Alejandro Kirk went to the All-Star game, Gold Glove candidate, and now a Silver Slugger finalist. Gold Glove finalist, Silver Slugger finalist. Kirk, Vladdy Guerrero, Silver Slugger finalist, Gold Glove finalist, All-Star, right? Teoscar, Silver Slugger finalist again. He won one last year. All-Star, right? Springer, All-Star, nominated as an outfielder and a DH for a Silver Slugger. So he's up for two Silver Slugger awards as a DH and as an outfielder. Chapman, Gold Glover, All-Star, Silver Slugger. Bo, Silver Slugger, All-Star. Like, just every guy on the Jays is either a slugger, a fielder, or both, an All-Star. And what did we do this year? We won zero games in the postseason. And the answer? Not because these guys aren't great players. They are. The answer is quite obvious. The Blue Jays bullpen was nowhere near as good as that of other teams. And we thought, because of Romano mostly, we thought, we got a great bullpen. No. That's the key. There you go.
Fool's gold.
It's true, though. 45-year-old Tom Brady looked every bit his age last night as his Tampa Bay Buccaneers lost the NFL Thursday Nighter 27-22 to the Baltimore Ravens. Now, if you look at his stats, and you didn't know, you go, oh, that's not bad. You know, 300 and some odd yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions. But this is Tom Brady, all right? We're used to seeing him play at such a high level that it's really tough to watch him struggle. So it begs the question, Mike, when will he retire? Like when his wife gives him the ultimatum? It's either me or it's football, which I hear, or someone, rumor has it that this is a discussion that had happened in the Brady household.
I was going to ask you, but
I'm thinking, listen, Giselle is kind of going, oh, Tom, like, really? 45, like, you know, isn't it time? Like, do you want to play one more season? Or like, what, like, can you make some type of a decision now so that I know? Because in any family,
yeah,
I don't care what it is, you know, you've been in the same business for a number of years. You know, I'm going to be 45, 55, 65, whatever the number is. You go, I'm going to work until I'm years old. So when he was 40, did he say to his wife and kids, all right, five more years, that's it, 45. And they went, five? Jesus Christ, you're five. Like, how did that work?
Well,
and now is she going, Tom, and he looks terrible too. Like, he looks like he needs a vacation. Like, from football and from everything. He just looks gaunt and, oh my God. And that, like, he's just, his cheeks are just like sunken. He doesn't look like the same guy. Right?
Well, you know, Father Time, it comes for all of us.
Yeah, but it comes in a hurry sometimes. And this is my concern, is I'm going to see Tom Brady in the famous pose by Y.A. Tittle of the New York Giants in his last game, when he was sacked in the end zone on his knees, bloodied from the, like, the helmet is off, there's blood trickling down, and you're looking going, that's it, he's done. It's a classic picture. He had been sacked in the end zone violently, and the blood is coming, 1964, whatever it was. And I'm thinking, I don't want to see that with Tom Brady. Like, I don't want to see that. And so, you know, the end is near. And look, Serena Williams, I didn't want to see Serena Williams getting her ass kicked and complaining about stuff. And, you know, I don't want to see that. I want to think, you know, she was the greatest. And so when she didn't say she had retired. See, that's the other thing. She said, I'm evolving away from tennis toward other things that are important to me. But this week she's like, no, I'm not retired. And I'm like, oh, come on. No, Serena, no, don't be like Sugar Ray Leonard was, like, I'm retiring, I'm unretiring, retiring, I'm unretiring. You like know,
the Who?
But here's what it comes down. No, that, not the same thing. Like the Who, they announced a farewell tour.
He didn't lead us.
Not the same, because there were no tears. I didn't cry. Like, I go, oh, I'll never see them again. Right. But when an athlete says, that's it for me, I'm retiring from the sport. And then they have, you know, I mean, it didn't used to be that way. You don't even have a press conference. You know, I mean, Sandy Koufax, listen, I'm retiring. I'm 30 years old. What? How come? But now everybody announces a retirement. And there's a reason for the retirement, all that kind of thing. And I'm like, you can't announce your retirement and then say, I'm coming back.
Right.
Someone has to go, no, we got it on tape. We got it in print.
Right.
You said you're retiring. That's retiring.
It's like attending a funeral.
Right? It is. And so when you say, I'm not retiring, first, number one is, when you come out of retirement, you're no longer sincere to me. You're no longer sincere. You're coming back. You need the money, whatever the fuck it is. You're not sincere, because you had me fucking crying. I was crying. I'll never see you performing. I'm in tears here. Mario Lemieux. I'm bawling my eyes out.
Sure.
Bawling my eyes out. A couple years later, I'm coming back. Wait a minute. Can I get those tears back? Can I get those emotions back? Because I thought you were dead. Not dead. I thought you were done. That I would never see you again. And so I didn't like Mario Lemieux after that. I thought he was insincere. Okay? Sugar Ray Leonard was insincere. I'm retired. But
Guy Lafleur.
Yeah, same thing. Yeah, he came back. Big deal. So, but do I remember, do you think I remember the Guy Lafleur who played for the Quebec Nordiques or the Guy Lafleur that played for the New Jersey Devils? I can't even imagine. See, that should have been white. I should have never had to experience that. Should I have had to remember Willie Mays playing for the New York Mets at the age of 42? No. And I don't want to remember Tom Brady like I saw him. I don't want to, I'm sorry. Okay. I'm okay with Joe DiMaggio saying when he was 36, I don't want to play anywhere. But Joe, you got, yeah, I do. But I you know, people are going to see me for the first time and they're going to go, that guy was a good player.
Like, well, the best example is, you know, no one thinks about Michael Jordan as a wizard.
No, but the thing is, he did, and it wasn't pretty. Okay. And so now you've got athletes like, look, let's face it, like Tom Brady, like Aaron Rodgers, like LeBron James, like Cristiano Ronaldo. Think of all these people. Think of where they were in their careers. And at what point is it like, you know what? Get out when the time is right. Don't be Brett Favre. Don't be these guys. Because they're all insincere. When it's time to go, you go. And you leave your legacy behind. And that's why I admire Albert Pujols. People are going, oh, come on, Albert, another year and you can, all these other guys are coming back and Wainwright's coming back. And no, he said he got his 700 home runs, man. His legacy is complete. And with Ronaldo, I mean, look, the man is one of the greatest ever. He doesn't have to play another game, but he wants to keep playing. He wants to, and he doesn't want to be a substitute. like he was, you know, Man U called on him the other day, 90th minute, they're up 2-0. And he's like, no, and he walked off the field. Now it's like, okay, anybody can have Ronaldo on a free transfer. Anybody in the world, you want him? Wow. He's yours. That should not be the way. I mean, I want to remember Ronaldo as a great player, not as some struggling old guy out there. You know, look at Roger Federer. He's the king. He knew when to go, and he's not coming back. And he hasn't hinted at it, and he won't hint at it, because those were real tears. He retired. That's it. He come back, he's insincere. I can't see it happening. He doesn't need the money. So it's about sincerity, Mike. If you're going to retire, do it sincerely. Thank all the people, everyone that was responsible for your career. Do it with sincerity. I'll cry, okay? If you were a great player and I'll cry. I will. I'm like that, okay? I'm a mushball when it comes to that. But don't toy with my emotions. A year, 2 years, whatever, 3 years later, say, oh, I'm going to come back. Because I'm going to be at the door going, get the fuck out of here. Go back, because I spent time and energy and emotions, and you know, you had retired and you can't come back now. I won't allow it. I don't want to see you. You know, not. I want to remember you as your best. There you go. I can't shed tears for a great athlete upon their retirement and then be told that those tears were wasted.
Right. Right.
Because the person wants to, no, stay retired.
Like Ozzy Osbourne said, no more tears.
Not exactly what I was thinking, but yeah. I can't cry anymore. In tennis, the Canadians are okay. Last time I spoke with you, Felix Auger-Aliassime was on his way to his second consecutive ATP title, which he won last week. So that's two in a row. And he's entered in the quarterfinals. He's in the quarterfinals against Alexander Bublik today in Switzerland. And meanwhile, in Vienna, at another ATP 500 tournament, Denny Shapovalov is into the quarterfinals against Dan Evans of Great Britain. So good.
Quick question about Felix. So he's won these last two events he's entered, but what kind of events are these?
Okay, so they're second and third tier events. So he won a 250 event 2 weeks ago, and he won a 500 event last week.
Okay, I'm just trying to get
another 500 event. Well, that's
context here on.
Well, there's no 1,000 event going on, you know, this week. Every week is not like a major, like a tennis. There's the majors, and then there's the 1,000 events.
Has Felix ever won a 1,000 event?
No. But he's getting there. He's getting there. But look, every event he's entered, he's won the last 2 weeks. I think he's won 11 straight matches now. I mean, he looked beautiful. He wiped this guy out yesterday. 6-1, 6-love. Like, fantastic. In fact, I watched him for a while. I don't think he lost a point on his serve for like 6-7 games. Like he's winning on his serves. He's winning them all at love. Tremendous. Felix Auger-Aliassime. Yeah. And Denny playing pretty well too. NBA Raptors looking good. I love this team. Mike, I love them. They beat the Sixers the other night, beat the snot out of them, and they got them again tonight in Toronto. One of those rare series where a team comes into town to play two games against you over three nights.
Right.
Cannot remember the last time that happened. I know that if it's sort of like an outpost, Toronto's not an outpost, but like you go out there and say, okay, as long as we're out there, let's play two games, right? Because we don't want to come back.
Right.
So you play back-to-back games, or in this case, it's two games. So I didn't see any of I was around downtown a bit, but I didn't see any of the Sixers walking around downtown the last couple of days because they played Wednesday. So Thursday, what do? They all stayed in their hotel rooms. They had to have been out somewhere. I don't know. Anyway, they're playing again tonight. And I love the Raps. So the Raps could go small tonight. You could go small, you know, even though the Sixers have Embiid and these, you know, the other monsters. But if you go Siakam, OG, Trent, FVV, and Scotty Barnes, that's a good small lineup. And at any time, Nick Nurse can insert Precious or Boucher or Coloco. And if he wants to go further down the bench, he's got Ken Burch. He's got Delano Banton, right, 45, the 45 bus. I was on the 110 yesterday, not the 45. So the Raptors have got a good solid 9-10 man rotation. If they beat the Sixers tonight, Philly will be 1-5. And all this talk about, oh, Philadelphia championship cities. Look at the Flyers are off to a great start. Hey, guess what? The Eagles are undefeated. Hey, we got Philadelphia in the World Series. The Phillies. What about the Sixers? Hey, they could go to 1-5. That would be great if the Raps could win tonight and improve to 4-2. But it's going to be a long season. It always is. Always is. This is game 6 of 82 games. Alphonso Davies became the latest lightning rod between Canada Soccer and its players this week, TSN and the great team, you know, Rick Westhead and his team are great. They reported that Davies' representative had told Fanatics, which runs Canadian Soccer's merchandise website and sells licensed goods, that it no longer had permission to sell Alphonso Davies' Canada Soccer jerseys because they don't have permission. They don't have an agreement to market Davies' likeness and image. Now, Davies is like one of the best players in the world. In all of Europe, he's Bayern Munich's fullback, left back. And he makes money every time they sell a Bayern Munich Alphonso Davies jersey. Every time. But prior to this, every time they sold an Alphonso Davies jersey, he got nothing. Which means the jerseys that we bought last summer, he didn't get anything. And the reason we bought them is because he's Alphonso Davies. So it makes no sense at all. Likeness and image. Come on. I don't know what Canada Soccer is thinking. So anyway, they've made a deal now in the interim. They came to an agreement that from now on, because Canada Soccer needs to make some money, right? They like sort of went, okay, we're caught now. Let's make a deal. So now you can buy the Alphonso Davies jersey knowing that he is going to get paid. But the rest of the national team, bupkis. So I'm Kyle Larin. I'm going, hey, what about some for me? You know, I love my guy, but every player should receive royalties. Every player. And it's about time they did. So even though Alphonso Davies gets a deal, Canada Soccer is still involved in this clusterfuck. And there's still the chance, unlikely as it seems, but that the players, unless they get their deal, will boycott, won't play in the World Cup.
Wow.
Hebsy, that'll never happen. They want to play for their country. Hey, you don't get paid, you don't play.
How big a story would that be, Hebsy?
Massive. Oh, did it not already happen? Did they not already refuse to play? Did they not already send notice to Canada Soccer? Don't fuck with us.
But the world's biggest stage, we haven't been there since 86. This would be a whole different level of protest.
Let me give you an example. Suppose, and never mind where it takes place, Qatar, it's a whole other story. Right. But suppose this was a real political hot potato, mm-hmm. right? That this was the Olympic Games and that it was taking place where so many human rights violations were taking place that the world was now aware and that other countries were saying, we are not sending our athletes there. Kind of like, let's say, Moscow in 1980, right, after the invasion of Afghanistan. Now, I know a lot of athletes that were supposed to go that didn't go. And it was terrible. But as a nation, we kind of had to stand up, right, and say, we're not going to this place. So if that situation came up where it was just untenable, where if you played, yes, you're playing for your country, but if your country mates knew that you were playing for no money, right, that you weren't getting what you should, and that players from other countries were making tons of dough, would you not think that was an injustice worthy of boycotting?
I think I would
want to go knowing that I had the support of my country and my association. That's all.
So why is soccer?
If I didn't have
Canada,
that support, I wouldn't feel like that waving the Canadian flag, that I was being sincere, Mike.
Well, tell me this, Hebsy. Why is Soccer Canada such a clusterfuck?
Can't answer that for you, my friend. Don't know. You tell me. How can this be? How can this be happening? Well, first of all, we've gone over it. We found out that they sold the rights unbeknownst to the players or anybody else company that's a business, Canadian Soccer Business. And they're the ones that made these arrangements and they can't get out of these arrangements. What did they make a deal with the mob or something like that?
Well, they sold low.
Is that what happened? Listen, either your signature or your brains are going to be on that page.
Maybe.
What is this, The Godfather? You know, Luca Brasi came along and said, listen, you're going to sign this deal with Canadian Sunken Business? Or, you know, we're going to... Come on.
Well, remember what happened.
Is that
to
what
Luca
happened?
Brasi.
Are you serious? So as if... See, and here's the thing. Look, we're Canadians, Mike. I fly the flag proudly. I love wearing my Canadian jersey. And it doesn't matter if it's my soccer jersey or my Team Canada jersey for hockey, or it doesn't matter. But when I find out that this Hockey Canada, talk about a clusterfuck, that's at the, you know, of Titanic proportions, right? That, you know, soccer, we're not as interested in soccer as a nation as we are in hockey. But wait a second now that we're going to the World Cup. Yeah.
That gap has closed quite a bit.
Well, and it's because of guys like Alphonso Davies. When people go, when I watch the broadcast and they go, oh, the Canadian. Yeah. Okay. In one of the best leagues in the world. Okay. One of the best players and most recognizable young players in the world from Edmonton.
Right.
And this is great how story. He's being treated. And this is how he's being treated by his own country. And he's a superstar around the world. And believe me, it's not just Canadians. I read the blogs and such. I mean, they can't believe that this superstar at Bayern Munich is being treated this way. What? He's getting nothing? It's the most popular jersey flying off the shelves. You can't get them. He gets nothing? It's terrible.
Now, I'm reading the live chat, your YouTube channel, and Brian points out that this is a 10-year deal that they signed.
Yeah, the soccer like I said, like what kind of a deal? What kind of a deal? How did this deal go down?
Listen, we'll give you guys, you can have cleats, you can have kits. We'll buy a bus for the team. But you got to sign a 10-year deal for us. We get all the merchandising.
But worse than that.
The players don't get a penny. Okay?
10 years, and then Soccer One can renew it for another 10 years. So is this a 20-year fuck-up? Like, how do you get out of this again?
Well, here's what happens. You know, you either breach the contract and see what happens, you know, go rogue, or you do what we would do, Mike. We would say, listen, until this gets settled, we're not playing. We're not. And here's the other thing. Can you honestly believe that these guys are practicing and training with such great enthusiasm if in the back of their minds or the front of their minds, they're concerned about being paid? Like, Mike, if I said to you, look, you just work your ass off, don't worry about the money,
right?
You're at what point are you going to go, I'm working my ass off, I haven't heard about the money?
Right
And now people are going to, oh well, you're in a tough group there, man. Look, you're not going to beat Croatia, right? And you're not going to beat Belgium, you're not, and Morocco, you might, you know, maybe you get something out of it.
It's going to take more than that, right.
And are you telling me that are we going to be happy if we go and we don't get through the group stage and we don't even win a game? Maybe we get a draw. I mean, is it going to be, if we just win a game in the group stage, is that enough for Canadians to go, all right, we're now? No, I don't think so. I think we have high hopes. And I think we want our team playing at its best. And I'm telling you right now, I don't believe that as a team, they're as hyped and enthused for the World Cup, which is coming up in, what are we, three weeks away, Mike?
It's coming up soon.
And this is something that these guys have to deal with. And remember, another thing is the team does not have an agent, right? The team collectively doesn't have an agent. Say, I'll go talk. Don't you worry about it, boys. You get this done, I'll get it looked at. No, Each guy has his own individual agent, right? Jonathan David has his agent and Alphonso Davies has his agent. And you know, right? They all have their agent because these guys negotiate their deals with their professional teams.
Right.
So I don't know what kind of synergy there is. I don't know if they're jealous of Davey. Oh, he got a deal. Why didn't we get it? But I can tell you this right now. This is not the kind of headspace you want to be in three weeks from the World Cup. That's all I'm going to say.
Woo.
Okay. Take that one in. And that's it for episode 307 of Hebsy on Sports. Thanks so much to Toronto Mike for production and inspiration. As always, hit him up at Toronto Mike. He's got some great interviews. Fantastic one with the Guess Who, which I'm really looking forward to. And the Ian Thomas episode, the funnier of the two Thomas brothers. Like, Dave's funny, but right. Ian's hysterical.
It's great.
Anyway, thanks to our sponsor, Crosswinds Golf and Country Club in Burlington. Go to crosswindsgolf.com. Still lots of golf left? Yep. I mean, November golf's beautiful. Late October golf's beautiful. Thanks to you for allowing us into your headspace. We're back with another exciting episode next week. Until then, so long for now.